Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for our Monday morning Northwestern Medicine Health Briefing. And joining us, Dr. Irfan Hafiz, Chief Medical Officer. Good morning, Doctor. Let's talk first about what is kind of surprising to me, this new research and the number of Americans, U.S. adults, who will have cardiovascular disease by 2050. What do you make of this research?
Yeah, good morning. We will probably see more cardiac disease. And this is a byproduct, really, of just the aging population, more people dealing with obesity, diabetes, and so on. So, you know, it is really at the forefront. So, I mean, we talk about hypertension and cardiovascular treatments, but, you know, making sure you get your checkups, making sure you're on the right medication, and modifying those risks are really important.
Yeah, the numbers, let's see, the prediction, 45 million adults will have some form of cardiovascular disease or will have a stroke in 2050, up from 28 million just a few years ago. That's really a huge jump. Why?
It is. And there's a lot of variables that are in there. One is lifestyle. Number two is, you know, we're seeing overall aging of the population, too. So, you know, fewer mm-hmm. younger people, more older people. So there's a proportionate number of those. Also, we also want to be aware of that there are certain subpopulations, especially among certain minorities, that there is higher risk of cardiovascular disease. So making sure that, you know, you get your checkups is really important there.
It's been the leading killer of Americans for decades, hasn't it?
It has. Though the numbers are overall, the mortality is getting better, but provided we are getting those treatments. So having that awareness that this does exist and getting the follow-up is really key.
Recently, we heard about a sugar substitute that has been linked now to an increased risk of heart attack and stroke, xylitol. And xylitol, I mean, it's even in toothpaste, isn't it?
It is. Though it is in small quantities, and we know with toothpaste, we really don't consume that much of it. But yes, there are some studies that are showing that there are some increasing clotting risks when we consume xylitol, especially in larger amounts there.
Yeah, and the use of sugar substitutes in general has come under scrutiny, hasn't it? I mean, I keep hearing from various sources, if you want to have a Coke, you're better off with the real thing as opposed to a diet drink. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it depends. It does depend. It depends on what our goals are here. 9 of them are definitely ideal. But if you are diabetic or have sugar intolerance or are dealing with, you know, overweight, definitely staying with the lower calorie sugar substitute may be better there. However, again, everything in moderation is really important there.
There were a couple of nutrition studies recently regarding what the ingredients of a truly heart-healthy diet should be and which foods should we avoid. Anything new in this research?
Yeah, a couple of things that I think did come up around that. You know, a couple of things is that making sure that we are mindful overall of, you know, the type of calories and things that we are consuming there. One thing that did come up, this was a Singapore study there that, you know, was really looking at plant-based meat substitutes, you know, and there's this common conception that, hey, you know, if I go to this plant-based meat substitute, then maybe my cholesterol risk is lower, but they didn't really find that in that study. That it was just as, you know, just as bad or good as meat, depending on your point of view there. But, you know, making sure that we also watch our sodium intake. I think that's another big piece that we're learning about, that when we go to less carbs, oftentimes higher protein foods may have a lot of sodium. So being mindful of the sodium is really important.
Yeah, I mean, it's so confusing because it seems like every day there's a new study about meat and about fats and about carbs. And, you know, my takeaway is always mom was right. Variety is the way to go. And I know you go through all this information. And what is the bottom line for you about what our diets should be today?
Yeah, and I think moderation is the key, as you pointed out. A couple things as well is, you know, there, especially in the 70s and 80s, there was this real extreme view that low fat, low fat diets were really important and that carbs were good. But what we've really learned is that we shouldn't overdo on the carbohydrates. So again, balancing that diet, making sure that we moderate our carbohydrate intake, having enough protein in our diet is really a key thing. But again, you want to be mindful, especially if you have underlying heart disease, kidney disease, diabetes. You know, consult with your doctor. They may refer you to a nutritionist just to make sure you're getting the right proportions there. And nowadays, there's plenty of apps that you can get on your smartphone to help you track food. It's way easier now than it was 10 years ago or even more. So keeping track of some of that really gives you some insights on what you should and shouldn't be eating.
Continuing with the Chief Medical Officer at Northwest Region of Northwestern Medicine, Dr. Irfan Haifiz. Let's talk about the brain-body connection and this new study about that. And what should we be doing to keep our mind well, Doctor?
That's what this is all about. It's really, you know, that Alzheimer's is such a debilitating disease. And, you know, as we talked earlier about aging population, we're going to see more and more of this. But there are a few things that we can do to try to reduce some of those risks. You know, one is making sure we're exercising, you know, getting the heart rate going has been shown to provide some benefit there. Reading, education, even, you know, if it's informal education, that stimulating the mind and thinking about new concepts definitely keeps that mind going. And overall, maintaining your cardiovascular health. If you smoke, please stop smoking. I mean, definitely this is one more reason we know about heart attacks and strokes, but also higher risk for Alzheimer's as well.
This new study focused on people with high blood pressure, 50 and older, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And high blood pressure has so many effects, you know, throughout our body, whether it's the brain, the heart, the kidneys. So really, you know, when you go to your doctor, make sure you're getting that blood pressure checked. And there's plenty of also screening clinics and stuff as well. So if you do have high blood pressure, please get on some medication for that and get that under control.
Do you get to a point, or do some people get to a point where even if they adhere to a strict diet and they're getting a lot of exercise, they can't get that blood pressure down any lower?
Yeah, that is very much true. I mean, especially as we age, sometimes that's just not enough. Yes, milder, earlier parts of that disease, when you have high blood pressure, yes, you can control it to some degree with exercise and diet. But at some point, it's better to be on medication. These have been shown to be very effective.
This month is Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month, and I'm looking at a list of things that they say 10 ways to love your brain. Let's go over a few of these. And I guess number one we touched on is exercise. Is that the most important?
It is definitely one of the important. I mean, there's obviously other effects too in maintaining your body weight and stuff. And we're not talking excessive exercise. Even a couple, 20, 30 minutes, maybe 3 to 4 times a week is probably enough to gain some of the benefits of that exercise.
We always hear about doing crossword puzzles, reading. That really is an important factor, though, isn't it?
It does. It keeps that brain going, keeps those wires connected there. Learning a new skill, concentrating on a puzzle or things like that are really important and really engaging the mind.
Do we have to still remind people to stop smoking? Are you still saying that to some of your patients?
Yeah, I mean, overall, the rate of smoking has gone down quite a bit in the United States, which is really good. But there are still a lot of smokers that, and if there's one thing you can do to improve your health, it's to stop smoking.
I always hasten to bring this up around here because our morning crew is sleep deprived. But every week there's a new report on how important this is, and you got to get your Z's, don't you?
You do. And you and I talked about this in previous as well, where there's so much studies really on the relationship of sleep to the rest of our overall health. I would say 20, 30 years ago, it was really an afterthought of what sleep really meant. But it really plays a huge role in our mind, our awakeness, our cardiovascular health. So it's really important. So if you if you're not getting enough sleep or you're snoring, especially, you may have sleep apnea, which can have a lot of effects on other systems, including Alzheimer's. So if you or your spouse snores, please get that checked.
And I know a lot of people who take this pill or that pill to help them sleep, but that's not a really good idea, is it?
It depends. Again, under medical supervision, if that is the way addition that will help you, yes, I can definitely understand that. But I think the point really being is try to avoid self-medicating and try to make sure that we're understanding the root cause of the problem and address that first.
And being socially engaged seems to help, doesn't it?
Oh, very much so. And there have been so many studies that show where people who are socially active engage with others do have lower risk of not just Alzheimer's, but even cardiovascular disease and stuff as well. But there is an effect of that.
All right. I'm going to go make some new friends and get a good night's sleep. Thank you, Dr. Irfan Haifiz, Northwestern Medicine. Talk to you again soon.